Hello, everyone, and thanks for hanging in there. Here we're at the 9th level of forgiveness. What a tremendous achievement. You've gone through so many of these videos, and I hope I've been able to express to you some of the really deep and fantastic thoughts on forgiveness that are encoded in the Tomer Devorah of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. Okay, so the 9th level is an interesting one. It kind of goes back to the themes that were explored in the first 3 levels when we were really looking at the metaphysics of forgiveness, trying to understand, you know, what happens when a person does a positive deed, releasing positive energy into the universe, and what happens when, God forbid, a person does a negative act and then releases this negative energy into the universe. So the author, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, returns to this question by saying, okay, let's look at a few examples in biblical history. For example, when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt and Pharaoh did terrible things, then God, of course, the entire book of Exodus is all about this. He wrought tremendous miracles, and then at a certain point, he hardened Pharaoh's heart and gave Pharaoh the ability to withstand incredible temptations to simply give up and say, okay, fine, you guys get out of here, leave the country. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to enslave you so terribly. But God, as it were, reinforced his will so that he would, in some strange way, actually deserve a higher punishment. And so it's a classic question asked by many of the commentators, and there are a lot of fascinating answers to it. Why was Pharaoh punished? I mean, after all, it was an artificial environment where God was setting him up like this. And furthermore, Rabbi Cordovero points out the ritual of the scapegoat that's described in the Yom Kippur rituals in the book of Leviticus in particular. You know, the goat, it somehow absorbs the sins of the Jewish people and then is sent out to a cliff and pushed over the cliff and killed. And Rabbi Cordovero asks the obvious question, the Jews sinned, why should the goat bear the punishment? And what's going on here? So without looking at all of the other medieval approaches and modern approaches to these questions, Rabbi Cordovero offers an interesting Kabbalistic approach to it. And he says that basically it's like this. When a person commits an ugly act and releases this negative energy force into the universe, as we've said in the 2nd level in particular, this kteger, this accuser is released. And then the person who created this kateger, who did this sin or transgression, now repents. So that's fine. You know, that's a way of addressing the issue. And the energy level of the kateger is dissipated by the energy expended by the person who does repentance. But there's another process that gets set into motion at the same time. As soon as that negative energy is released into the universe and creates that energy debt that we've spoken about in the first 2 levels of forgiveness, then God sends out an angel named Samael, also known as the angel of death, who comes out to collect that negative energy from the person who committed the sin. And as we discussed back then in those levels, that energy can be collected in a lot of different ways. It can be collected through, God forbid, death itself. It can be collected through suffering, physical suffering and illness, God forbid, things like that. Or it can be collected through the anguish caused by the regret and contrition that a person experiences as one goes through tshuva. But any way you look at it, Samael and his collectors have to get their due. They have to come back, like a FedEx person who comes and says, you know, no one's home. He's got to leave a sticker there. And if he delivers a packet, this is kind of an upside-down metaphor, I just thought of it now, but he needs his signature. He needs proof that, yeah, he was here. Even if you refuse the package, he's got to get a signature there. So that's kind of a weird metaphor. But the idea is that these collectors come around, and they need your signature. They need your energy, and they're not leaving until they get it. Now, the good news is, as Rabbi Cordovero explains, and he relies on a lot of Talmudic and Kabbalistic references for this, you can see them in the written text, Samael will be satisfied with a token. He does not have to collect his entire due because he knows that the system is set up in such a way that, you know, if God authorizes a lower collection, then that lower collection is acceptable. You know, maybe it's kind of like, they come to repossess your car or something like that. And, you know, they're standing there and they've got the tow truck and things like that. But if you pay the fine of $250 or whatever it is on the spot, then they'll put the car down and they won't tow it away and that sort of thing. That's maybe a better metaphor. So, as it were, a Samael will be prepared to accept a lower level of payment rather than exact the total amount, but you have to produce that payment. The Rabbi Epstein, an amazing 21st century commentator on the Tomer Devorah, quotes the Sefer Meor Einayim, that Samael is kind of like a dog at his master's table, that while the master is eating, the dog will simply not leave him alone. He'll be whining and sitting there by his side waiting for something. But as soon as the master takes a bone, which has very little caloric content, has very little value, food value for the dog, and throws it away into the corner, imagine like a medieval castle throwing the meat over there, then the dog will run away and will happily spend the rest of the meal chewing on that bone, allowing the master to eat in peace. So when we take this back to our stories, of Pharaoh and of the goat and things like that, it's a way of assuaging this particular angel whose job it is to make the collection. This allows the angel to collect that debt and leaves the person who has done teshuva the freedom to go on about their life. So ironically, this strange kind of punishment, which devolves on Pharaoh, or devolves on the goat, or even devolves upon inanimate objects like the sword that is used in an execution. It seems counterintuitive, but punishment can actually be salvific. The punishment can actually step in there and can erase the debt for everyone concerned. And so in a sense, punishment is actually to be embraced, although we want to embrace it in the smallest way possible, and hopefully divert it onto inanimate objects rather than onto more important creatures, people, and so on, God forbid. So what does this all mean in terms of the Kabbalah of forgiveness? The Ramak argues that this is how we should go about expressing our regret and that we should somehow divert our energies into inanimate objects as a process of teshuva. So he doesn't actually state this explicitly, but my understanding of what he's saying is, like, let's say, for example, you know, you have a big argument with your spouse, and it's over something stupid, like, let's say one of you bought something for the house that was very expensive, and, you know, it was a stress on the family finances, and you never wanted to buy that particular thing. Who knows? You know, you can use your imagination in this regard. And you end up arguing and arguing, and the argument escalates, and you say things you really feel badly about later, but, you know, you manage to go through the previous 8 levels of forgiveness, and you manage to find a way to love one another again and forgive each other for it. But nevertheless, there's all that negative energy that was created by all those terrible things you said to each other and raised your voice and things like that. So maybe what you should do is you should divert that negative energy onto something inanimate that was associated with that purchase. Let's say, for example, you decided to take back that purchase and you know, you got your money back, but you have the receipt that's stamped that says returned. So you have that receipt, so maybe you should take a moment and either together or perhaps just the one who purchased it or something like that should take that receipt and then, you know, ritually burn it or throw it away or do something with meaning that says, you know, I want to just release all of this negative energy onto this slip of paper. I want to take all of that negativity that was created by this argument, and I want it to, you know, inhere into this paper. Now, there's a lot more to say about this. There is a strong Kabbalistic tradition to indicate that inanimate objects can acquire holiness, and unfortunately can also acquire the opposite of holiness, and they can radiate that kind of effect to the people and things around them. A Torah scroll, for example, has a great degree of holiness. A weapon, on the other hand, especially one made of iron, has a great deal of the opposite of holiness and can actually invalidate, for example, a pure brook of water for ritual immersion and things like that. So a lot more to say here. I don't want to say it in a very short video like this. But the idea is, in the 9th level of forgiveness, is that one of the strategies you can use is you can divert that negativity after you've dealt with the causes of it, but divert that negativity onto an inanimate object and then ritually destroy that object. One more thing that's kind of useful here. The Ramak says that, you know, we should also bear in mind that when we see people who are, God forbid, suffering, that terrible things happen to them financially, personally, health-wise, God forbid, we should not make a calculation and say, oh, they are obviously being punished for their sin. The most complex and difficult question in Judaism is tzadik v'ralo, why do the righteous suffer? And it's not within our power to say so-and-so is suffering because they did such and such a thing. The Ramak clearly cautions us against doing that kind of I told you so, it serves you right kind of expression. And that's basically it for the ninth level of forgiveness. Look, you're way past halfway now. You might as well just watch the last few videos and go right to the end. You can say you did it. Okay, thank you very much for watching.